I'm just going to read the passage for Brother Mr. Gooding. And what I'd like, what he'd like me to read for him is in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
I suppose this chapter from which our brothers read to us is the middle chapter of the Bible. It contains, right about verse 5 or 6, the middle verse of the Bible. The book of Isaiah is a wonderful book. You've heard about the Gospel of Matthew, and the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John. And many people say there's a Gospel of Isaiah. That's the bit from which our brothers have been reading. But while it was written 700 years before the Lord Jesus was born, it tells you so much about the person of Christ. Can't avoid seeing him there. Talks about his birth, his virgin birth. Talks about the kind of young man he would be. Tells you that when he became a man, he did not become a political agitator. He was characterized by goodness and humility and truth. And he talks about his death and his suffering at a place called Calvary. Tells you the story in the most accurate way. Talks about him being wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, The punishment to procure our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we've been healed. Wonderful book, this book of Matthew, this book of Isaiah. It says also that our Lord Jesus would be the kind of preacher who would say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to open the prison to them that are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. And so you could go on. In Isaiah's prophecy, our Bible calls it, but Isaiah's gospel, for it has so much about the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus as the very basis of salvation. In fact, it is a lovely whosoever verse that says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Ye that have no money, come ye buy and drink and have money, have bread and wine without money and without price. And so we're going to look this evening just at one verse in Isaiah chapter 53. It's a verse that begins with one little word, and it ends with the same little word. You'll notice in verse 4 or 5 or 6, is it? I cannot read it myself. But in verse 4 or 5 or 6, you'll find a little verse that begins with all, and it ends with all. And the verses, the words that lie in between are going to be the subject matter of our preaching this evening. You know, when I was a boy, many years ago, wee infant, I remember going to school for the first time. I was just 5. They took me to the door, and after I began to be able to read a wee bit, I sounded was infants. And I went, it meant me. Then, after a few years, I came to another door, said primary. It meant me. And then other words and we went on, and the word above the door just meant what kind of people were allowed to go in. When I go home in a few weeks' time to Scotland, I should get off the plane and I should come to security and then customs and says one day, all those who have customs to declare, go in here. And all those who have no customs to declare, go in there. And then I'll come to another door and it says, all British subjects go in here. And all aliens go in here. And I have to just go in at the door that indicates my kind and my name. I come to that in this verse. It says, all. All. A double L, if you like. So I approach this verse, all we like you have gone astray, and I'm faced with the word all. I come to the last line of the verse, it says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us, all. So it's all, if you like, at the front door, and all at the back door. And everything in between has got to include all. Got that? It's the nearest word you'll get, isn't it, the word whosoever. That means all. That means everybody. That means you and that means me. It means us adults and the children. It means us all. It's men and women. It means us all. So the New Testament is full of that idea, isn't it? The gospel is a message that embraces all. All. And so this is like a gospel verse. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It means everybody. So we all stick up and take notice, couldn't we? That everybody in the building is included in this word all. Now it's one thing to be included in it. Another thing to recognize it. When I came here, incidentally, I got into the wrong queue when I came to the airport. And I found after I'd wasted about half an hour that I stood in a queue where you'd got customs to declare. I hadn't anything. I hadn't brought any liquor on the plane or any cigarettes on the plane. Nothing to declare, but I stood in the wrong queue. I didn't recognize what queue I was supposed to be in. And listen, there's a queue, if you like, and it's marked all. And every one of us here are supposed to be in the queue. We've got to look into our hearts and we'll say, now, do I answer what's on the outside of the door? All. Everybody. Ah, but Lotus, it's qualified now. Qualified. The big word all, if you like. And underneath some small letters. All, condition number one. All we like Shiva Bronze Stripe. Right? Condition number two. All we have turned to our own way. Two conditions. And if I can fulfill those two conditions, I have a right to enter into that door. Got it? Am I clear? All we like Shiva Bronze Stripe. That's me. All who have turned to their own way. That's me. I look at that door and I say, I've got a right to go in. It's describing me. If you recognize it's describing you. All we like sheep have gone astray. Does that fit you now? Were you saying, God's President, I that I, like a lost sheep, have gone astray? That's me. Were you saying that you? Recognize that? You've gone astray. Then have turned everyone to his own way. That you too? Let's examine what he says. All we like sheep have gone astray. Missed the mark. Gone the wrong road. Missed our way. You think that's right about you? You know, the word sin means to come short. To not have done the things that we ought to do. We've missed the mark. We've missed the way. We've come short. We've missed the target. In my country, in the established church, they talk about sins of omission and sins of commission. What are sins of omission? The things you omitted to do that you ought to do. And if there are things in your life that you ought to do and you haven't done it, that's sin coming short. Oh, come on. Face it with me. Have you always done what you ought to have done? And what you ought to have done is to always done right. Have you always done right? What you ought to have done is to obey the word of God implicitly. Have you always done that, everyone? Or have you missed the mark? You've come short. You see, in every one of our lives, we have a standard that we set for ourselves. And we never come up to it. Yours come short. We look around on others and we set a high standard for them. They say, you know, we say that they come miles short. When we turn the light on our own heart, the things we haven't done, that we ought to have done, so God says, God says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That means my whole being has to be concentrated upon doing the will of God. Is that for Christians? No, it's not for you, I'm saying, well, God commanded in the Ten Commandments. Your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole spirit would be determined to do the will of God from the day you were born to the day you die. Tell me now, have you done it? See, you've come short. Come short. Missed the mark. So many things in the Word of God, God expects you and I to do and to live and we come short. The text in the New Testament says that all have sinned. Sin means all have come short, having missed the glory of God. New Testament says all have sinned, having come short of the glory of God. All have missed the mark, having come short of the glory of God. Simple. Make myself clear? In Scotland, you know, we make an attempt every time we preach to make it that simple, nobody could misunderstand. You understand that? You miss the mark, you come short.
Illustrate that.
When I first went to school, that would be over 75 years ago. They used to have an annual inspection for health reasons. Then they stood us up against the wall and they measured our height. And they said the average boy's height at my age should be so much, and I come short. Great day in my life, you know what? Because you see, I used to look around all the rest of the members of the class or form I was in, and those annual inspections of our height proved I wasn't the shortest boy in the class. I was the second shortest. I was just a little bit above the height of the smallest boy in the class. When I turned around and looked at those big fellows, oh, how far I'd come short. Got the idea? God says He has set a standard. And I come short. God set a standard, my dear friend, and you come short. All of us have missed the mark, having come short of the glory of God. You say, what is that standard? Listen, the standard is the holiness and the righteousness and the justice and the perfection of God. Let me ask you, are you as holy as God is? Do you expect you to be? Are you as righteous as God is? Do you expect you to be? Are you as just as God is? Do you expect you to be? Are you as perfect as it you said as you are coming? God says in the Bible, be ye perfect. You have come short of being perfect, and therefore you have come short of the glory of God. You've missed the mark. You've come short of your aim. You haven't come up with a standard. You missed the mark. You've gone astray. Like, you know, shooting an arrow from a bow, you want to hit a bullseye, and you miss it. We've all missed it. Long way to the wild. God says, all we like sheep have missed the mark. All we like sheep have gone astray. You know when folks from Canada and the States come to Britain, They love to see our sheep in the north of Scotland wandering all over the road. Yes, be careful not to kill them because they won't get out of the road. Sheep. There they are in the wrong place and going the wrong way, and they're all in the white house. They've missed the way. They've lost the path. God says, we are like that. You are like that. And I am like that. For he has a right path for men and women to train and wander from. It's a right path for us to go, and we've missed the road. We've missed the way. And all that he demands of us in his word, we fail to do. We come short. Miss the way. Miss the Father. We haven't come out of the standard. That's sins of omission. Things we should have done, we never have done. And from the moment we were born and we became intelligent youngsters, what we've been going on that way. And all the mistakes we have made in our lives. The times we have not come up to the standard we have set ourselves, let alone the standard God set. We stand outside this door and go, all we like sheep have gone astray. Look into our hearts and see all those shortcomings and say, oh God, yes, that's me. That's me. Is that you? Come on now, is that you? Would it go on up to God if that's you? You missed the mark? You missed the way? How you been out? Apartment building with a lot of old folks. They're all religious. On Sunday mornings, taxis come from here and there and everywhere, taking them to church. All good folk, lovely folk, church workers. But when you ask them, well, they're sinners, they all say no. Because they think they're good. Right. They despise drunkards and drug takers and all those people think they're bad. And because they go in their taxis every Sunday morning, regularly to the mix, they think they're fit for heaven. They never realize that God says, they miss the mark. They've gone astray. Listen. The Bible says, you know, two men went up to the temple to pray. One fellow pushed out his chest and looked at me very high, and he says, oh God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, like this publican. He looked down on the publican. The publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But the other fellow, the Pharisee, didn't think he'd ever committed a single sin. Oh, he has. We all know he has. His heart was so full of himself, he never thought he committed a single sin. He thought he was fit enough for heaven. You say that right, you think you're fit enough for heaven? Come on now. Got to the door of heaven, would be where you may decide on a clean ticket, you know. I know, sir. Or would you have to admit? You haven't come up to the standard you've set for yourself. Let alone come up to the standard that God has set for you. And he says, all sin, all control, all is the mark. God wanted you to be perfect, and you're not. Wanted you to be holy, and you're not. God wanted you to be righteous, and you're not. You come short of the glory of God. You can't help me. I'm prepared to admit that I sin. You can't help me. I'm prepared to admit
by sin. We come short of the glory of God. As a poor helpless sinner, I have failed to get up to the standard I thought I ought to be. Let alone the standard God demands that I should come short. Brother, you come short. Oh no, have you come short? You really think you're a sinner? And you really think you're not as perfect as you thought you were? Prepare to come clean with God and say, I'm a miserable sinner after all, though I'm professing to be good. All of sin, says the Bible, having come short of the glory of God. And to get in this door that says, all we like sheep have gone astray, I've got to say, yes Lord, I'm one of the sheep that's gone astray. It's the door of salvation you're standing at. It's the way to get saved. The way to get saved is come to that door and say, yes, I'm a sinner. I've gone wrong. I've gone astray. You're prepared to admit that now. Honestly, truly, in the presence of God, that you are an undone sinner, and you have gone astray, and you need to be forgiven, and you need to be saved.
I've been telling some of the folks during the past 2 or 3 weeks I've been here, that my great-grandmother, that's going back 100 years, and my grandmother,
as younger women, heard that there was a preaching going on in the gospel hall down the road. They were really religious women. They didn't like to hear people that weren't really paid for preaching, but did a job during the week and then preached on Sundays. They called them rambles. They heard that down in Violet Hill Road, in Stowmarket, where they lived, that is in East Anglia in England, that some unlicensed preachers were preaching the gospel. These two women with an air of piety and condescension, they said to themselves, we'll go and listen to these branches, see what they've got to say. Into that great big hall they went. Told them over there. They found comfortable seats and they decided to sit and look carefully to the ranters. They went home furious that night, blazing with anger. I wonder why they were blazing with anger. These ranters, these ordinary working men who read the Bible, dared to tell those two religious women they were sinners. They went up the road and they said, those men dared to tell us, good folk, that go to our place of worship every Sunday, we're sinners? Oh, they couldn't accept that one. They sat by the fire and blazed away at each other in their anger for a long, long while. Very late at night when one of them, the quiet, said, you know, I've been thinking that in our religious denomination, every Sunday night we say, Lord, be merciful to us, miserable sinners. It had got hold of her heart that what she'd been saying mechanically every Sunday, just reciting it all without thinking what she was saying, was a confession that what the writer said was true and what God says in the Bible is true. She realized for the first time in her life that she was a sinner. Not we are all sinners, that's easy to say. But to look into the face of God and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. deserve to be punished for my sins. I'm a sinner. I come short. Listen, friend. If you're ever going to be in heaven, you need to come there. And acknowledge you come short of the glory of God. You come short. You miss the mark. You're a sinner. You're perishing. You need to be saved. You come to the door, we don't talk about sin. You come to the door, what is that? All we like sheep have sinned. All we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have missed the mark. And I willingly enter that door tonight and say, oh God, that's me. I've missed the mark. I'm just a poor undone sinner. My heart is full of sin and iniquity. I'm a sinner. God, that's me. And so when he says, all we like sheep have gone astray, you can come in here, I step inside the door. I want to get saved. And because I want to get saved, well, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Well, I'm a step inside that door. Are you prepared to take your place as one like that tonight? Who's gone astray? And I ask before God that you've gone astray, that you're not what you appear to be, and you're not what everybody else thinks you are, and you're not even what you'd like to be, that you've come short. Condition number one, for entering the door that part all, everybody. The first condition you must fill on the road to salvation is to take your place as a sinner who's missed the mark and lost the way, ready to perish. God says, if you'll take the place that like a lost sheep, you've gone astray, you can step inside the door. Oh, by the house to the door. Where? Inside the door. This is for getting inside the door and saying, oh God, I have helpless, undone sinner. You're on the road to salvation. So you step inside the door. Say that. Condition number two. That's a little problem. It says all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned. What? That's something deliberate. Turned everyone, that's all of us, yes, turned everyone to our own way. The way we decided to go. Well, it's one thing to wander about willy-nilly his own way, Lord, but to deliberately turn the wrong way, have you done that? You know, when you were born with a sinful nature. And I'm sure of this, your mother never taught you to their lives, did she? And your mother never taught you to disobey. And your mother never taught you to fight, but you all did it. Why? Because you were born in that way. And because you were born in sin, you found that, like a lost sheep, you were going astray. You knew you were wrong. You knew you were doing wrong. And your conscience touched it. But you still went on doing wrong. And one day you came to teenage. And you were intelligent enough to know certain things were right. And certain things were wrong. And you think of those moments in your life when you knew something was wrong and you determined to do it. And you knew something was right and you said, I'm not going to do it. and you determinedly did things wrong, though you knew they were wrong. He said, that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, my dear friend, everyone in this building can do with that. Not only are we sinners by birth, but we are sinners by choice. We choose to do the wrong thing time and time again. We deliberately turn to our own. Thinking now? You think yesterday. My dear unsaved friend, you think yesterday. You did something that you knew was wrong, and you deliberately decided to do it. And the day before yesterday, there was something that you knew was wrong, you definitely decided to do it. It becomes a characteristic feature of men and women in general that in their lives, as they grow, they know what's wrong. They decide to do it. They know what's right. And they decide not to do it. What does our text say? It says all we like sheep have gone astray. It's wandering from the path. But made the decision to go our own. And that's deliberately sin. Deliberately sin. I'll ask you a question now. How many times in your life have you sinned like a lost sheep? Just because you wanted. And how many times in your life have you sinned and delivered that? When you knew it was wrong and you determined to do it, and you knew what was right, you went and did the wrong. That's the next condition on the door. All we like sheep have gone astray. He said, yes, that's me. And I say, yes, that's me. We missed the mark. We wandered. But all of us have turned everyone to his own way. I go back to my boyhood days, my early manhood days. How many times I knew what was right, and I chose to do wrong. And I knew what would please God. I decided not to do it, did it very often. You've done the same thing. And you've done it many times. And before you could get to heaven, you to own up. You say, I, like a lost sheep, have gone astray. I turned on so many occasions to my own way. And carelessly and deliberately, I have often done wrong. Then you think about that. You say, because I'm a sinner, and I have so often done wrong deliberately, that God would be perfectly right to put me in hell and punish for my sins eternally. That's the meaning of the word repentance in the New Testament. Not being sorry, not shedding tears, no, that's not repentance. Repentance is acknowledging you're a sinner and owning up that God would be perfectly right if he judged you for your sins. And so you come to that door, if you like, as a trembling sinner. realizing that if you have your desire, you'll be in the lake of fire forever and forever. You come to the door, and you say, has God got any mercy for me? Can God forgive a sinner like me? Got it? On the outside of the door, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now we go in the door. We go in the door realizing that because we are confessed sinners, we deserve nothing but judgment. And it's our sins that deserve judgment. We go in the door, we say, oh God, I'm a sinner. I feel guilty of committing so many sins. What's our text say? Our text says, all we like sheep have gone astray, yes, we'll fulfill that alone up there. And we've turned everyone to our own way, we've delivered sin, we're alone there. Now what's it say? It says, God has laid on Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. So as a sinner who's owned up to be a sinner, I get inside the door. I think about all my sins and the judgment I deserve. And I say this, God takes my sins. He puts them on the head of the Lord Jesus. As though the Lord Jesus had committed those sins, though of course he hadn't. He hadn't committed those sins. He was perfect and holy and pure. But God took my sins and he put them on the Lord Jesus. And then he took all the judgment that I deserved and he put it on the Lord Jesus. And as though the Lord Jesus had been guilty of committing every one of my sins, God punished him. So let me go with it. Number one, all we like sheep have gone astray. Number two, we turned everyone his own way. Number three, God has laid on him, taking the load of guilt from off me, putting it on the Lord Jesus. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I guess all the people that came in door number one, all we like sheep have gone astray, yes. All the people that said, well, I'm going to door number two, the Lord has, I go my own way. All of us. And all of us who own our sinners, God said, I laid upon the Lord Jesus the iniquity of us all. I look at Calvary. I remember all those terrible physical pains and war. The bleeding back. Pierced feet and hands. Face knocked almost out of shape to them so it was a face. His body stricken with terrible thirst. He hung upon that tree, all his physical suffering, enough to break your heart and my heart as we contemplate the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. But after he'd been on the cross for 7 hours, God made the sun cease to shine. Then, says Peter, the Lord Jesus bare my sins in his own body on the tree. Yes, God took my sins from off me and put them on Christ. God took my punishment from off me and put it on Christ. The New Testament says, he bare my sins in his own body on through. That's the basis of salvation. If you own up that you're a sinner and unjust, what it says? It says Christ suffered for sins, the just instead of the unjust. I say in the presence of God, O God, I'm unjust. God says, Christ died the just instead of the unjust. So Jesus died for men instead of men. Bearing my punishment, God punished him instead of punishing me. That's the message of the gospel. I didn't return to him. And I should have borne the judgment of God forever and ever and ever in the lake of fire. An awful long while. Awful judgment it would have been for me, but God took it all. Pressed it together, shall I say, in 3 hours. Awful concentration of judgment that I should have borne eternally, an eternity of judgment, drawn into 3 hours. And in those 3 hours, Jesus bore my eternity of judgment. The fierceness of the wrath of God against my sin concentrated because it was brought down to 3 hours instead of eternity. The Lord Jesus bore all that for the tree for me. For me. Yes. For me. I am a guilty sinner. Jesus died for me. I've gone astray by the lost sheep. Jesus died for me. So many times I've determined to do wrong instead of doing right, but Jesus bore all my punishment for me. The message of the gospel in the New Testament, Paul says, is the gospel that I preach to you is that Christ died for my sins, according to Scripture. And the calendar, for all the wonder of God of heaven, in his righteous judgment against sin, pours down his judgment upon the head of Jesus upon the cross. All him says that Jesus bore and bore in love unbounded, what none can know. In eternity, on heaven, I'll never be able to estimate what Jesus suffered for me on the cross. And what it cost him to procure my redemption and provide me with salvation. So the question is, have you gone in by the door? Have you gone in by the door? Have you said in your heart, now I'm really meant to it, I've gone astray by the lost sheep? Have you said in your heart, I'm really meant it, I have determinedly turned so on to my own way? Owning up to be a sinner, what does the Bible say? If a man say, I have sinned, and I have done wrong, God will say, deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ of the cross. And then clear. Oh, I have. If I hadn't made it clear, I'd tell it in my God. My job is to make sinners understand that they're sinners and to put them to the Lord Jesus so that they can get saved. You have to stand. You know what you've got to do to get your sins forgiven. Both of this man. And I turn over to the New Testament. I find Peter the great big fisherman is preaching. He says this. Christ, all the vital points. That whosoever believeth into him shall receive as a free gift the forgiveness of sins. Who wants the sins forgiven? Who wants them all long enough? Who wants the assurance that Jesus paid the price for them and there's no judgment ever coming when you are? This is what Jesus said. And then do it. Do it. Get it clear in your mind and do it. Do not delay. Do it. Jesus said, to Christ, all the Bible books, that whosoever trusteth in him, neither rest of all of them here, rest of soul of them here, as a guilty sinner claim here as your Savior, your eternal deliverer, whosoever believeth in him shall, there's no doubt about it, receive the free gift. You don't have to buy it. Don't have to pray for it, weep for it, anything. You just come and get it. We shall receive as a free gift the forgiveness of his sins. You know, God never forgets anything. He's got an eternal memory. Never forgets anything. So he says, if I trust Christ as Savior, he'll say, good evening. Your sins and your iniquities are forgotten. No, he didn't. He said, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. In the moment when I trusted Christ as my Savior 65 years ago, God said to me, Goody, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. And he hasn't remembered any of my sins for 65 years. I will never, never remember one of my sins in turn. Why? Because Jesus bore the punishment that all my sins deserve, that my sins have been borne, the judgment is borne, my sins are forgiven, my sins are gone forever. Who understands about that? There's a kind of salvation that's in the box. My dear unsaved friend, let me urge you, take it. Take it. Get that forgiveness. And get it at the close of thinking tonight. Whosoever believeth in him, when you believe in him, nothing else, believe in him, trust his word, trust his blood, when you believe in him, the very moment you do it, you will receive the forgiveness of sins. If you can get it right now, this very moment, if you simply trust in the truth. Oh God, we bow in thy presence now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for telling us that we are sinners. Our consciences are so weak and sometimes we don't recognize what kind of sinners we are. We thank you for telling us that we are sinners who go on strike, often deliberately. We thank you too for telling us that we must come into thy presence, confess our sins, repent of our sins, desire salvation. Thus, O God, we turn to thee. Thank you for the provision that was made for our salvation in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, who died for the ungodly. And if as ungodly sinners we will trust him as our own Saviour. We thank thee all our ungodliness will be blotted out. All our guilt will be taken away. Every one of our sins will be cleansed eternally, and we shall stand before thee as though we have never sinned at all. For the wonder of the gospel, we bless thy name. For the possibility of someone getting saved tonight by realizing all this, we pray to thee that some sinner might come in his or her heart. Same effect, Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou hast made me whole. O God, bless thy word, we pray. Pardon us now with thy blessing. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus.